Welcome to Idle Red Hands, a podcast from Japan about gaming and gamer life.
Wow, that's kind of amazing. Do you like it when the game books start with fluff or start with the rules?
I never actually really thought about it until you asked that just before.
Neither did I, and then somebody did, and you're like, damn you for bringing that up. Because they criticized the book, maybe Riffs, but it was like because it started out with too many rules, where it should have started out with more fluff on the setting.
Warhammer always goes with fluff first, and like a lot of fluff beforehand. I always enjoyed reading those a lot. So
yeah, White Wolf does the story.
Well, White
maybe
Wolf
if I enjoy
their
story more.
I'm not a fan of the story so much.
Yeah,
I think I've skipped all the stories.
You know, surprisingly, who does a better job of that? BattleTech. BattleTech doesn't.
Is there anything BattleTech?
Yeah, I was just going to say BattleTech.
You know who does Vampire's better? BattleTech. Yeah, it was quite interesting what they did with that. You know, being 12 meters tall.
Anyway, thank you for joining us again for the Idle Red Hands podcast. I'm Chris.
I'm Wayne.
I'm Lyle.
I'm Yujiro, and I'm Tom.
Welcome back,
Yujiro and Tom are back, because it's part two of Hindsight is D2020.
They actually never left, but... They've been here all frickin' week.
Hey, Chris, you had toilet paper. that's cool, man. I'll just use this, whatever that is.
Yeah. This time we're picking up where we left off last time with Campaign Confessions. This time we're going to be talking more about story and our recently completed campaign.
And this is the one where the criticism actually is directed at you.
Yeah, so. There's no system to hide behind this time.
I need a box of tissues, I think. But yeah.
But I guess there is some safeguard in that all the game masters are going to get their time in the hot seat. So.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that.
I love how you looked at me when you said it. Oh, I'm going to love when it's your turn.
No, I was thinking about Yujiro already criticizing my my game.
You know, when it comes down to it, though, it's not like we've ever held back during games. So.
That's true. Yeah. Right. So would you like to start us off as the GM for 4E?
Okay. Yeah,
tell us a little bit about the Red Hands campaign.
Yeah, it was a basic vanilla 4E Dungeons & Dragons
game. Tell us a little bit about it, but kind of sell the system. Kind of sell the story.
It may be vanilla, but spice it up a little bit.
Vanilla,
Neapolitan.
Everyone in the campaign world was white. No, just kidding.
not so much.
I mean vanilla in that it was your kind of stereotypical Tolkien fantasy-esque thing. Lots of orcs and goblins and things like that.
It's actually no orcs.
There were supposed to be, but
oh, okay.
Yeah, got rid of those.
Okay, well, then there were. From the player perspective,
it got spiced as we moved along, or removed spices. Anyway, yeah.
Taking that pepper off the table.
It was set with a group of characters who varied in number and type and personality throughout, going against a clan of evildoers who are trying to destroy.
Called the Red Hand.
Called the Red Hand. Yes. Yeah.
So are really called the Red Hand, or do we just started calling them the Red Hand?
You started calling them the Red Hand.
Oh, okay.
You came up with that.
Did the cult actually have a name?
I never gave them one, no.
Okay.
No. But everyone started calling them that by the end because you were saying that, so.
Also, I mean, how could you not call them that when they're simple?
When they're simple, big red hand, yeah.
did they actually have, like, fangs of a red hand, or sort of just like
They never overtly showed their...
So they only marked on, like... Their
chest.
Yeah. For all the underlings and stuff, it was like a mark actually on their chests, on their bodies and such. The higher up guys, they actually like had a white robe with the hand symbol on it.
Okay.
But just start us off. What did you like? Like, what were you happy about with the story?
Well, I think the thing I liked the most is that it ended really, really well. I was very happy with the ending.
Was it what you were expecting?
Yes.
Yes, with an if, no with a but.
Yeah, how could I say it? It's not the ending that I originally had planned.
Right.
It's similar to, but okay. Well, for all the listeners, the all of them, the we.
Yes, Stan, we're talking to you. listen up.
We finished off the campaign in that I had one of the main characters, Wayne's character Tamil, sacrifice himself to save the city and everything. Yes, that ended well. It gave a nice personal touch to everything, and yeah.
And that wasn't decided on the spot, right?
No, I came up with that a couple of months beforehand.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
But you came up with that.
So when I mailed Chris and told him, I wanted to do that. I wanted to kill my character.
Yeah.
Chris said, "Oh well, I've actually been planning that for a while now."
my response was "Yes, I know."
Oh yeah. Oh, okay. Yes, I know. I've been planning that too.
You have that effect on people.
I guess the only reason that was my first character that died is because none of the other campaigns have gone long enough for the team to kill me off.
Yeah,
I think
I can make another character if you must. If you must.
Door's right there too. You know? I think it was probably a year and a half into the campaign or so. But I noticed that you were kind of like rolling and you get a crap result. You just kind of sit there and go like that. Mm-hmm. So I didn't think you'd have a problem with it. But I'd originally planned that if you had never sent me that mail, I was just going to take you outside and have a discussion beforehand. But
And Wayne doesn't return. We won't talk about what happened.
There's nowhere I can find an incinerator.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was what I was most proud of, is that it ended on a really good personal note for everybody because of that. So, I was also really proud of the bad guy, how I inserted him into the story right at the beginning, and I kept him secret all the way to the end. The reveal was not what I had hoped it would be, but one character's throwing down bullshit. But
okay, all right. We'll hold off there. Yeah, you go.
We got to start with the positive first. Yeah.
We got a sandwich. The criticism. That is one of my positives. Is that it did feel like a story, in that there was a really a cinematic start, a really opener. Maybe just to give some background. I had designed my character to be kind of like he's in a society of Eladrin who are run by seers. Think, I guess, the Eldar in Warhammer 40K. Mm. And basically he's assigned to protect Wayne's character, because I knew Wayne was making some quasi-god or whatever. Wayne had just had just recently read Wheels of Time and was going to make a character that was...
essentially the Chosen One.
Chosen One, Luke Skywalker. The Chosen One. And I just linked there. So it was kind of had like that movie start. And then with this character sacrificing themselves at the end, it definitely had a movie ending.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really good. And then, and you could really like, as the story progressed, the players getting closer. Remember you drew his character.
Or staying the same distance.
Yeah. Why are you still here, man? Tom's character having the motive of revenge and things like that. So it really hit a lot of the kind of things that you would see in a science fiction or a fantasy movie. So,
no, I think it's I agree. It's kind of difficult for me to comment as the one playing that Chosen One. So obviously, I would probably see it. I had a different perspective from the other players in the game.
And I think, just to get into my specific positive point, is that I think Chris was very open about allowing us to contribute to the story.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like to do a whole lot of backstory, but certainly what little backstory I gave you, you incorporated that straight away. You made me kind of get the visions, which was a surprise to me, so that was a nice twist. And then use that throughout, where I would get visions throughout the thing. So maybe I was the chosen one. I don't know.
Well, you kind of set that up for yourself with the seer controlled society.
No, so Chris allowed it, was open about having that kind of thing, like creating this little society in the north of his world, and then using that. So not only is it like kind of rewarding me for contributing, but also throwing in some surprises for me. Using that information, and then I was able to give you other things throughout the story, but then it would be incorporated, and again in ways that would not, I remember telling you that, but it was like, that's kind of a surprise. I remember we talked about that a little bit, but
as much equal to you, your credit as well. I mean, you came with good stuff, so
Faye Step and Calvary.
I really appreciated that, and it does make you as a player want to contribute. As the story progresses. So instead of hearing like, I guess we'll get to that. But you would actually see tangible, like maybe you might give six ideas and like three are used, but still that's a lot better than zero.
Right.
So how about you, Tom? What did you particularly like about it?
The story?
The story, the campaign. Not the system, because we
done talked that today. I like the relationship between the characters. Like how usual character, we always stick to your character, right? Like how he
was falling. I saw that as a system thing. In other words, the little kind of guy is standing behind the meat shield.
That's only because the other meat shield died. when one of our players left and his character died. Yujiro needed somebody else to carry him or something.
Oh, right, yeah.
No, sorry, I don't know.
But yeah, so I like that, the relationship, how you guys have that between the characters. It's kind of cool.
As the one who came in last.
Yeah. So I kind of missed it.
I don't mean that in a negative way. Tom being the player who arrived in the campaign last.
I'll probably join the last quarter of the story, right? Yeah.
Well, maybe.
Actually, probably.
Maybe,
probably.
Maybe time-wise?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe event-wise, I'll liken it more to like a half.
I think you joined right at the beginning of what I was considering the third act, so.
Yeah, yeah. Right. So that's third then, yes. But,
So I was wondering, like, did you, I think you had kind of like a prelude, to borrow a White Wolf thing, and that you had a kind of like a personal session
We did, yes.
Yeah, that was as much for story as it was for teaching him the rules, though. No.
Yeah.
What did you like about Owain?
On the spot again. Wow.
And you're sitting next to Tom. Like,
I know.
What do you think we're going to ask?
12 minutes in, man.
Give a guy some heads up.
I agree with you, Lyle. I like how Chris incorporated stuff into the story. I mean, ideas that we would throw out.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I'm just not as good at, obviously, as shown by this, not as good as throwing ideas out on the, kind of on the spot as you are.
Well, I would do it. Like, I would send it, like, on Facebook. And
Maybe it's just my personality where
I just kind of think of something and it's like, whatever. Like, well, I had created, maybe because when you think about the face stepping caliber, you might actually think I was talking about the combat maneuver I did in one session.
Well, yeah, but then you linked it. You actually said,
"Oh, did I?"
Yeah, you said this is kind of something that my house has perfected.
Oh,
and it became something that you didn't just invent on the spot. Like you didn't invent it on the spot, but you actually kind of worked it into the story of your character. And you said,
"Oh, yeah,
okay. this is, you know."
Go me. All right.
Awesome.
I believe you even somehow linked it to like a history skill check somehow when you remembered the history, the martial history of your house.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, my brother is one of is in that caliber. Oh. But they go insane because if you do that too much, you start to go crazy. Hmm. They start to lose grip on reality. Kind of like a changeling character.
Yeah. You know? Even though it's not. But anyway, I was going
to say, you'd have really good if it wasn't wrong.
Yeah, kind of, but not. Yeah,
it's wrong. But I think I'm just not as good as doing that.
So what did you like?
It's one of those things. Like, it's difficult to pick out specific things that I like, right? Because I enjoyed the whole story.
Okay.
Right, okay. So it's kind of hard for me to say. I really loved this part.
Hmm.
What did you think of the ending, then?
I was happy with the ending.
Cool.
I actually thought it was going to go a little bit differently, the ending, to be honest.
It was weird, because I actually said that I and my character, or I, both me and my character, didn't know that there was some plan to sacrifice Wayne's character, or Wayne's character would sacrifice himself for the good of the whole city.
Yeah, I think
but then my character actually said, spontaneously, is like, oh, you know, do something. Like, Tamil, your character, do something in this situation.
You know what happened? When I mailed Chris about
it. It was very surprising.
I was imagining actually being killed by some big bad guy, a.k.a. Gandalf versus the Balrog on the Bridge of Khazad-dûm. I was imagining something like that. Right, some kind of sacrifice that allowed the party to escape, or I thought I would die like in some big combat.
Okay. Instead of did you say why?
I never told him how.
Using myself as a component to dispel this ritual that's going to destroy the city.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the character-wise, Lyle, you kind of saw that. Or you saw the connection between, okay, you need a source of divine magic to cancel this thing, and hey, we got Tamil over here, and or the elemental chaos magic,
which could have been Tom's character. Yeah.
And you could talk about this too, Tom. Interesting point. Like, story wise, after I sacrificed myself, Tom's character Rickus actually said it should have been me.
Yeah.
I was actually and. For me, as a player, that was completely out of the blue. I thought I was the only one who had kind of thought about killing the character.
But maybe Tom is like, you know, the guy in a fight. You know, when they're already breaking up the fight, he's like, oh, hold me back, trying to reach across, and he's like, oh, you're lucky. You're lucky there's like seven of our friends now breaking up this fight, right?
Yeah, we're fucking lucky that that you did it first,
you know? Oh, that was so going to be me.
Yeah.
Actually, like, your reaction surprised me, too, and I thought it was really good. Like,
all
right. Yeah.
Yeah, like, well, I mean, like I talked to Chris that I, obviously, he and I knew that we were going to do this, and we had kept it secret from the other players. Mm. So, I didn't know you would have done that. So, I guess I have to ask Chris a question. Like, did you... Obviously, you put the divine component in so I could do that.
Right.
Did you also put the elemental magic component in for Tom's character?
No, it wasn't in for Tom. I realized it pretty soon after I'd revealed part of it to you guys, but I decided, what the hell, it works.
Okay.
Mm. Yes. How about you, Joe? What did you like?
Tough one.
Actually, before I... Sorry to jump in front of you there. Just to know, there was a
house... But think about your response. It looks like you're going to be thinking. So.
Just so nobody gets confused, there was a house rule in my game that if you're trying to dispel a higher level spell, you could get a better chance of it if you had one of the components of the spell. Hence why Chris served as component to dispel it. Sorry about that.
I'd have to say it's the torture sessions.
Oh, God, that sounds real good.
Me too.
Yeah. No, because we had two lawful good characters, one chaotic good character, one chaotic neutral character, and the problem was we'd have this bad guy, and we needed information from him.
Never stop, whatever.
But well, no, that was just.
I think that's because all the NPCs you ran across in Longblade's piece were
the same personnel.
Anyway, sorry.
So yeah, like Marius, Lyle's character, and Tamil would have to like try to figure out ways to intimidate the character, kind of sort of torture them without going. They're kind of like Jack Bauer does in 24.
I'm a fan of 24. Yeah.
Yeah, I gotta say that. Yeah. Watching them try to walk that like thin line. Oh, yeah. That was some good stuff.
I think maybe when we had the goblin with the broken leg.
Oh, yeah.
And saying that we would heal it if they gave the information.
Just a point. We didn't break his leg.
Yeah, we didn't break his leg.
We didn't break his leg, but we used my healing ability as a carrot. To try and
you don't want me walking out of this room with this like crazy man. This crazy man's going to kill you. You want me, just tell me the information, and we walk out together.
Oh, that's right, because there was another guy in there who wanted to kill him.
Yeah, right? That was one technique. The other technique was...
have somebody else do the torture.
Yeah. and saying that we would make the person stop.
I don't want him to do this.
I can't hold him back. Maybe if he gave me the information, I could make him stop.
Yeah. But, you know, like, I want this to stop as much as you. Well, I mean, almost as much as you. So, no, I did enjoy those. I actually enjoyed, this is before Tom and Yujiro joined, I enjoyed our racial profiling debate.
Oh, yeah.
which turned out, although I was arguing on the side of the baddie, you know, arguing for racial profiling, tieflings, turned out to be true.
Yeah.
Get the only tiefling in the town. Obviously, is something connected. He's somehow connected to this crime.
Yeah, he did. The first kind of like, yeah.
Unfortunately, we had a third player who dropped out, maybe because of this argument. It was very, very combat oriented, and they didn't really contribute much to the debate other than sit there. But that was one of my favorite sessions, that one. We had the ethical debates. Mm. And the torture always would come up with the ethical debates, like. And you're lawful and good.
Yeah, it's interesting. I tried to put in a few like moral dilemmas and ethical debates and stuff, and you guys didn't bite on almost any of the ones that I made. But
so,
you made
so,
some of
so
your
which,
own.
What were they? Out of curiosity.
Yours, you had the most, because you told me at the very beginning the things you were looking forward to in the campaign would be some kind of moral dilemma or debate. So, like, you said originally Tamil was going to be a very, very egotistical kind of guy who believed he was a god. So I wanted to make it, at first, like a slow build-up to being the son of a god. So it was kind of, for a while, am I not, really, really unclear about it. Okay. But then you kind of changed to the unwanted power aspect. Yeah. So then I just gave you the straight reveal for it. Okay, yes, you are. You are the son of a god. And so how do you deal with that as an unwanted power? And then...
And my solution was running away. Like one of the Three Stooges.
I put in all of your worshippers there. And I specifically made them to be really pathetic, because, and they were pathetic too, because I wanted to give you that dilemma. Like, you, someone who doesn't want this power or this responsibility, but now there's a whole group of people who are looking up to you, asking for your guidance, what do you do?
And push them away.
Then you ignore them.
That was a solution.
Yeah, so yeah, basically, some of the ones I tried to build into the plot, you guys didn't really bite on, which is not to say it's not you did it wrong or anything, but...
Oh, okay.
Moral dilemma we made for ourselves, the pig farmer. not a moral dilemma, just so much as how do we get past this immovable wall that is this one lone guy saying we can't see someone?
I think your idea of knocking a guy unconscious and dressing him up like a corpse, because apparently they were feeding the pigs corpses. That was their side business. Yeah, it was pretty. And being serious about it. I mean, that's what's so funny.
I honestly...
It's like, what?
Like my,
that is the sickest thing I've ever heard.
I forget exactly what I said. I didn't mean it like that. Like, when it came out, after I said it, it's like, oh, and everyone's going to think I meant feed him to the pigs. I forget
what?
Exactly.
Yeah,
how else could you mean that?
I thought just sort of show it to the guy and that we were meant to see it and pretend that we'd killed him.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's so much better.
I know.
Well, I suppose it actually is better than feeding a live person.
A live person.
Well, it goes from, like, being supremely sick to being supremely lame. It's like, oh, we can
so
do that.
So which one's better?
We can do this to you. And he'd be like, what? Put, like, unconvincing makeup on me? And it's like, yeah, that's what we'll do.
Yeah.
You don't want to be... You don't want to mess with us. We're tired. We're hard. Yeah. How about you? Hmm?
Oh, he said it.
No, he did.
We kind of got back to his whole thing with the torture thing.
That torture thing.
Yeah.
You should have liked torture.
So. Okay. All right, what is something that you would wish you could have done differently with the story?
I made a lot of mistakes.
Okay.
Here and there, and the biggest one, you said it on Facebook, was the baby. Who was
I wanted to find out about that baby.
Yeah, it actually was a miscalculation. It was supposed to be Tamil, but I screwed up how old... I screwed up the years.
There you go. Yep. There you go.
That's it.
Because, Wayne's character Tamil was 40 years old, and we had calculated this. You had used a flashback.
That was 30 years before.
Yeah, 30 years before. So it turned out the baby was only... whoever this baby was turned out to be 30 years old at the time. And that...
Yeah, and we were trying to decide if it was, in fact, my character or the bad guy that we were trying to track down or someone else, so...
So, yeah, that was just a mistake on my part.
Sorry, but that reminds me. I actually did like when you did incorporate the flashback, particularly that one.
Yeah,
even though you did make the mistake, I really enjoyed... And again, I guess it gets into how it felt like a story, is that kind of exposition and that was done through the flashback.
Well, thank you.
And I did steal that... For
Vampire.
You linked
it really well for Flash for Marius.
I used the Flash Forward, but really, obviously, I was just ripping Chris off. So yeah, I really like that. I like the, or you know, like when you did a cutaway. Mm-hmm. So we played other characters just to explain how a temple got burned down.
Right. Yeah,
instead of just coming back and finding out.
Yeah, I really like that fight.
That was fun.
Yes, but what the.
So basically, you split us into two groups.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and we pitted us against each other.
That was fun.
But
you know, that's
one
of
the baby out the window.
No. Okay.
No, can I wrap the note around the baby and then pretend?
What happened? I guess I was playing on the side of good, Tom and I, and we ended up winning.
Moral victory.
We won morally, or we actually won.
Yeah, okay.
But anyway, we won the objective, but we were actually getting our asses handed to us in the combat. And I wanted to, you know, go leave the temple. I was the leader of the temple. I wanted to leave the temple with the information. Mm-hmm. But Chris wasn't allowing me to. He just felt like I would, you know, make a last stand or something.
My idea was that character, would have tried to defend the temple to the last.
Yeah, and so I said, well, there's a baby in this room, so I should need to rescue this baby. He said, no, there's no baby in the room. Well, there's a dead baby. I better, you know, I don't want, you know, to have this hit. I want to find a place to bury it. And,
so in other words, you were trying every which way to get out of the temple, and Chris was having none of it.
Yeah.
And creating babies left and right.
There's a whole nursery. Dear God, man, I can't just leave these babies
so
to die in the fire. Have a heart. Anyway, but we were able to achieve our objective.
Yeah.
But I really
Well, thank you.
I really like that.
That kind of plays in, not to get back into the system of it, I was kind of, that was one of the first points where I started to get disappointed with 4E, is that because I wanted to include a combat in those, and the second one was entirely combat, but with 4E, you can't just drop a player on somebody and say, fight. There's too much to know about powers, how to use them. Yeah.
I think for the flashback, I was playing, I guess it was a Seeker.
Yes.
The Seeker just come out, and... Yeah, just getting a character sheet, and even talk to us a little bit individually for about like 5 minutes before the session.
Yeah.
But it still was kind of difficult that there was a lot of stuff to remember to I guess, play this character effectively.
Yeah. And that's why for the second one, I gave everybody monster profiles, because they're just really straightforward. Mm-hmm.
And yet you still had about 10 questions.
It's more than 10.
more than 10. Sorry. That's right. No, I'll say, I think, you incorporated that little vignette into the main story very well.
Oh, thank you.
And that, the character Lyle was playing for that little chunk was, in fact, a major NPC that we had dealt with very frequently in the past, right?
Yeah.
So,
and that was one of the really tough things, because I wanted to give you guys the chance to look at it, but also I didn't want to give you the reveal right away.
Right.
So I'm kind of disappointed, because you knew who and where and what the combat was, so when the PCs got back to town, there was no like, oh my god, the temple's burned down, you already knew. But I think... Trade-offs.
I think that would be pretty much impossible to pull off.
I agree.
In a game setting like this, where you're giving the players these characters to play, and then their actual player characters haven't witnessed the event, but the players have played the event, right? There's you just have to rely on the people's acting skills. There's no way you can actually get an honest, surprise reaction because you know what happened.
Yeah, but all in all, like, it wasn't a bad thing.
No, it was totally worth it,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, cool.
So was that everything, like, that you would do differently?
Is there something specific that you're referring to?
Like,
what?
Oh, all right, okay.
Go ahead.
Well, I was actually just the hand of fate.
Oh well.
I would have. I'm still torn about that. The big bad guy.
I hated
guy,
it.
The big bad reveal at the end. They had a power called the Hand of Fate, which guides your questions or gives you like a yes/no answer to certain questions.
The invokers get it.
Yeah, and at one point, like, you guys had run out of ideas what to do, so you just cast that bill a million times. And we just played 20 questions until you found the bad guy.
Well, I'll say this. I guess.
Well, we had narrowed it down to somebody in the castle.
Yes. Well, but you know that from way in the beginning of the campaign.
Yeah. So we kind of did. We knew it was someone in the castle. Not from the beginning, but we did find out it was someone in the castle. Right? But I'll, like, not to disagree, but you said you enjoyed how you kept the guy a secret.
Yeah.
I think the reason no one suspected him is because when you introduced the character...
Should we say the main bad guy? Sorry,
okay,
to cut you off.
Sorry, the main bad guy,
He was referred to as the Master throughout until the end, really.
Yeah.
And the reveal is the Master turned out to be the servant responsible for the visitor's wing, I guess, of the castle, which was currently being occupied.
Taking care of princesses, yeah.
Yeah, and Eunuch taking care of the visiting princesses.
Yeah. So, when he was introduced, I think maybe everyone at the table assumed that, because Lyle's character sees this servant and just wants to get him out of the room and says, by the way, could you go find this green box for me?
Yeah.
There was no green box, and so the servant left the room. Then that became a running joke, right? Like, asking this guy about the green box.
Mm-hmm.
I, at least, assumed that he was a throwaway character, that because Lyle or Marius had taken this action, was showing up for sort of comic relief, like this running gag.
Mm-hmm.
In the story, no clues at all pointed back to him. And I understand the mystery is very difficult. There's a very fine balance between giving enough clues where people can solve a mystery versus giving too many clues where it's over too quickly. So when I cast Hand of Fate, the reason I said the guy with the green box was out of pure desperation. I had gone through...
And I saw that, too.
Yeah, you saw that. I had kind of gone through everybody on the list, and I said... So I had gone through the list. I couldn't think of anyone else, and I just said, what the hell, this guy, too. And it turned out to be him. And I feel really bad at that. That's the point I yelled bullshit. So, and I agree, it kind of ruined the story in that you had this big reveal mm-hmm. that was kind of ruined by, you know, something we did.
Well, don't say ruined. I mean, like, you were using a legitimate means of doing... If it were up to me, I would have... if I had it to do over... Well, I don't know. What do you guys think about that? Like,
Since it's come up, I was surprised that you said that for a positive thing.
Yeah.
Because it was actually the one big criticism I had of who it turned out to be and how we found out who the master was.
Yeah.
And as Wayne said, he actually did become comic relief. And you actually had some funny jokes with this guy, mm-hmm. Even to the point where when we were trying to, like, catch the invisible person, so we put, like, chalk or flour mm-hmm. on the floor.
The green box guy is getting pissed off to clean.
Yeah, and that he got kind of pissed because he had to clean that up now. And it turns out that's who was actually doing it. But, so, and it was a funny joke, but... That's all that guy was
to us.
We actually thought it was this. Therefore, this is the correct person who should have been the master. But we thought like somebody like the prince.
Yeah, we thought.
And
it was
this
the
is
prince.
Back when we thought that the baby was turned out to be the master. So we were actually kind of aging.
Yeah.
Think, oh, the baby must be the master, not because mm-hmm. it can't be Tamil yeah, right. because there's 10 years out. But maybe it's the prince. The prince is about the same age, and he's become this like kind of, you know.
Jaded.
Almost like an anti-Tamil.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the kind of the demon to Tamil's god. And then what the dilemma would be if it reveals the master's the prince.
How do we deal with this? Yeah.
Oh, then what?
Yeah.
And then Wayne actually threw out the first princess we ever met is what if the master had been her?
Her, yeah.
And then that would have been, oh man, because we actually, maybe, did kind we save her life or did we just get duped and things like that?
Yeah.
And it would have made for a, because once we found out it was a servant and we were like the heroes of the kind of
realm.
The kingdom because we had saved them in these different things, which is good that you did that and because it's kind of, would kind of suck if like you do all this thing and everybody's like,
but
what have you done for me lately?
Yeah.
But definitely, we got very tangible rewards within the story for doing all these good things.
Mm-hmm.
But then it was our word against the servants. They're like, yeah, let's go arrest them.
Yeah.
But if it was been, you know, I know you're the heroes, but you're just accusing the prince mm-hmm. of why would he try to undermine the king and stuff like that? And then it would have been very, very complex,
mm-hmm.
and we would have had to find out how to reveal that this guy and how to link him, but then it was just everybody would take our word for it.
Mm-hmm.
The servant, let's go get him. Let's go kill him.
Yeah,
yeah, you need to cough. I said, do it, yeah. So then it kind of became that. And of course, like, how... Maybe, I think we missed some clues.
I was actually afraid that I'd given you too much information for it, but like I
you had set it up where once we got somebody, we would only get this much information.
Mm-hmm.
But it seemed very controlled what we would get. So when we get this imp, the imp will give us this much information, which will lead us to this person. And it was like, okay, we can't really skip to the master. We have to go to this underling.
Mm-hmm.
To get that. So we couldn't have caught one underling, because the underling... I mean, it makes sense to have,
you
like, a cell system.
You skipped over Tess. Successfully.
With the Hand of Fate.
Yes.
Yeah, so...
Which was kind of how
we skipped over. I think nobody... Maybe we shouldn't have even used the Hand
maybe,
of Fate,
yeah,
but
yeah.
nobody... We just all thought... Well, I thought it was the prince.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted the Hand of Fate to confirm that.
Yeah, but that
and then when
said,
it didn't,
you
then
did
we then
a,
we just kind of got, yeah. well, I have no idea.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. It's like, I have... We used the Hand of Fate, maybe to back up our decision to see if we were right. And when it didn't give us the information we were expecting,
yeah.
we said, I have no idea.
Yeah.
This puzzle doesn't fit. I'm at, not my wit's end, but yeah, I don't know what else to do.
Mm-hmm.
So then we just started naming people in the castle. And
yeah. for the record, I had a mystery in my game, so I might hear about how much all the missteps I made on that mystery as well. But I did like that it was somebody that we had met.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Because that does make for a bigger challenge. But then, yeah. It's,
yeah, it would have been much worse if it was someone we hadn't met.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. Because then that's what the person is. It's someone we haven't met, and then it leads into something else or whatever.
Yeah, like he hadn't met any of the other underlings besides him.
Yeah.
Well, also, like, I told you his name very early on. as well, Jacob. And when I gave you guys the that coded message, you were able to translate the A-C-O in the center of his name. And you guessed it was like Dacon or something like that, and then just kind of forgot about that message entirely. So that was like one of the biggest clues there.
I think did that just remind me of another positive? Is your use of props, such as that code breaking, which was really
was
good.
Fun. I really
oh
that.
Man, the glass rod. we found this glass rod in a house, which Chris actually provided as a plastic rod, as a prop. And we're trying, is it magical? What the hell is up with this thing? Like, what, trying to do stuff with it? And I remember I was like pointing with it and. Turned out it was just a magnifier to read these imp's little messages. So yeah. I thought that was pretty funny. Yeah,
cool. So the use of props, like really excellent. Maybe I think we just missed some clues, and then it led some frustration at the reveal.
I think it's less than the missing. It's just, like you said, planning sessions. You know, how do you remember something that's 2 months ago that I didn't dress up to say, hey, this is a clue.
I think you kind of got a little bit defeated by the gaming schedule.
I think that...
That happens.
I think the scheduling... In particular, I think it hurt all of our campaigns and affected like momentum with all of the campaign games. Yeah. And of course, remembering something that happened like a long time ago. This went, what, about 2 years?
Yeah.
And probably the actual campaign shouldn't have been 2 years in real time.
No.
It should have been maybe 6 months or a year in real time, but because people dropped out and incorporating new people and not being able to schedule as often as we'd like, perhaps making the mistake of having three campaigns at the same time, I think all the games suffered from that. Yeah. So,
But hey, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Well, what we're going to do is cut them down. That's what we're going to do.
One of the things that I was really happy with, one of my favorite bits of the campaign, was it was a situation of yes-anding. And the tunnels.
Sorry, what did you say?
Yes, ending. It's a technique for game masters to never say outright no to the players.
Oh, yes, ending.
No butting, yes, ending. Mm-hmm. It was the tunnels under the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
They were never supposed to be there.
Really?
Oh. No. Hmm. You guys made them.
How did we make those when we found the one cave where people were supposedly digging through?
Well, see, that's the thing. They weren't digging through. They were actually just digging out that cave. And so they'd gone into an underground cavern, and it had been cleared out, and there was a pile of rubble against one wall. And that was just where they piled the rubble from digging out the cave. But you guys were like, there's a pile here. They've got to be digging towards something.
I thought there had... Maybe I thought I'm there was wrong. A hole. I thought there was the a rubble. Hole that led to...
That was it. Like, you guys spent... Like I said, there are big boulders. They're hard to move. And you guys spent, I don't know how long it was real time, but you spent quite a while, like, digging through it. There's got to be something behind these rocks. What's in there? And it's like, you'd spend all the time, it's like, oh, I can't...
give us nothing.
Yeah, I can't just say there's just a blank wall. So, sure, there's a hole there. Mm. And then that built a hole.
Man, no matter what campaign, our D&D characters have a problem digging.
Well, then there's the other one.
Yeah. Well, I thought we made... Ian, the dwarf player, like dropped out. I thought we made him dig the hole.
We made him expand the hole because we wanted to know where it led. Because we assumed
because only the face stepping characters could get through.
Oh yeah, and then he died and got brought back as a zombie.
Yeah. demon.
Oh yeah.
Just a simple question. As a DM during these kind of games, is it okay for you to say, you know, hey guys, you know, like other character, don't bother with the part here because it's not going anywhere.
There were a couple of situations. I think I say, like, when some NPC was coming by, and I said he's, like, tall, he's well-dressed, and he's a red herring, like that. So, like, don't worry about it, but...
Yeah, right. But, yeah, so can you do that as a DM? Just say that.
Yeah, it's okay, but then why did you put it in?
Yeah, if somebody's there, why...
No, because it was there. I guess it was there just for another purpose, but then we think it's for something else. It's special.
Well then... A case in point is in another Dungeons & Dragons session is... These orcs were digging a hole, and my characters came upon it, and they ended up, not to drag it up too much, but ended up like hiring dwarves to like continuing digging this hole, because where are they digging this hole to? Right. And Wayne kind of realized that I wasn't really going to let this hole go, because then said, yeah, it's not going anywhere, like, you know, kind of, like, you can stop now.
Yeah.
and that was appreciated,
because...
Yeah, I would just be sitting there digging a hole for nothing.
Right.
But a lot of times then maybe you might want to make something like what Chris did, make it something. But you could do that. Or sometimes you do throw out things that are pointless.
Right.
Because if because then you want the players to kind of evaluate stuff, because mm-hmm. you're just always throwing out actual clues, and everyone, well, that's important, this piece of paper is important, mm-hmm. somehow, and then they just, then it becomes very difficult to make a real proper mystery, because then everything they grab is important, so let's just assemble this, and it just becomes difficult. Like, make the puzzle.
It's like a fine line to walk, also between, like, foreshadowing, mm-hmm. which is your example was, right? In that story, they were going to finish the tunnel.
Yeah.
It was just going to take a long time. And that way, when you came back to that town, because you had to come back the same way, you'd be like, wow, the tunnel is finished, and there's something there. Right? So it's a fine line to walk between foreshadowing or telling the players, hey, this is going to be important later on, mm-hmm. so it doesn't just feel dropped in,
right.
versus having players latch onto something and saying, this must be important, right. let's focus on this. So sometimes you do kind of have to say, just stop.
Right.
And sometimes there's things that players would never understand because it is just foreshadowing something that hasn't happened yet. Like the when you guys banished that one demon in the tunnels, like there were the sacrificial stones around it.
Right.
Yeah, like that was very important towards the plot, but you never got there.
Right. Yeah. So as a DM, how does it feel? The players don't
whatever. I got my main story, so I'm happy.
There's two things you could do. I guess you could either have something happen to make them leave it alone,
mm-hmm.
or you can say, you know what, they've latched onto this, let me change my story and make it important somehow.
Right. And if it's something I really like, then I just save it for the next game.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's true.
Or you reintroduce it a different way. Mm-hmm. If it's something that they've missed,
right.
then you can reintroduce
Even
that.
Even better, if it is something that's important, like mm-hmm. you can have that thing occur. Like if there is maybe a rebellion brewing in another city, let it happen.
Right.
Players didn't stop it, so.
Right.
Mm.
Okay.
And then you deal with the consequences of that, and then that becomes a different thing.
Yeah.
And sometimes you can be quite strict, and it's like, things are going to happen on these days.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's a really good thing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's not a really good thing. I mean,
one of the best campaigns I ever played, and like the DM actually sat down with a calendar, and he wrote out these dates, these things will happen.
Oh,
and so it was.
So he was kind of, he'll have to guide the players to go in that
direction. Yeah. I wouldn't say like that. Sorry, that wasn't the reason it was one of the best campaigns I played, and it was a really well built campaign,
right.
but that was one of the elements.
Right. Well, I'll say this, like, as a DM, my feeling is you can't be inflexible, right? You can't say, this thing will happen on this date, regardless of what the players do.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, this situation is going to happen,
mm-hmm.
and you know what? Hey, the players did something to either stop it or accelerate this event, so it gets bumped up,
right.
or it doesn't happen.
Right.
So.
Okay.
Yeah, and like, what does it say? For the big reveal,
mm-hmm.
the master was going to kill all of the princesses in the castle.
Right.
You guys saved their lives.
Right.
Congratulations.
Most of them I wouldn't miss.
Yeah. Well,
but it was also like you're saying, there wasn't any good evidence that the master was a bad guy. That was going to be part of it. I was going to try and build him more sinister, but...
Also, I think the fact that the master turned out to be unmanned, and it turned out like we hadn't planned it, but the killer in the vampire game also was unmanned as well. It was like,
it took Chris a while to pick that up.
I didn't get it.
Oh yeah, actually, you didn't understand that he didn't have his manhood anymore until I actually said, oh, you know, it's the same as a vampire. And you're like, what? Tom, what about you? What is something that maybe you could have seen different? Or?
Well, what I kind of felt bad about was
okay.
Because near the end, my character got the diary of the bad guy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
it was only me that was able to look at it. And it was me that
That's
I couldn't
fine.
Show you guys.
Yeah.
And it was pretty big, and not big, but there was a lot to read, a lot to absorb.
Yeah.
And being kind of new also to the whole story, too, I wasn't really sure what's important and what I should tell you guys.
Yeah.
So it was only me who saw it, so I was thinking about, so what should I tell you guys? And afterwards, I couldn't see anymore because I had to get back to Chris at the end.
Yeah.
So I was like thinking about, oh man, I probably missed out a whole bunch of important things, that some hints or some clues that could have led to the story to be more interesting or more exciting. But I didn't know exactly what I should have remembered and told you guys. So I think probably Chris probably maybe felt that I missed something in that.
Maybe. Well, there's a lot of things in there. Like some things before Rickus and you joined the party. There were some things like, oh, those bastards, they stopped my army, somewhere
yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
Things that you wouldn't have gotten onto, but it doesn't matter, you know?
Yeah, so like I kind of felt bad because like, you prepared the whole big diary for me, and I read it, but I couldn't know what was important or not enough to tell you guys too, so kind of felt bad about that.
Okay.
I was a little bit curious, why are we continuing, we'll call it the Red Hand story, mm-hmm. even though we may have wiped out the Red Hand, but so with three people changing their characters, not dropping out, but changing their characters, mm-hmm. like, why are we continuing with the story? Because you could actually reset it, even if you reset it at Paragon or whatever, like a completely different story.
But you want to keep Marius, so why not continue?
Oh, okay. Well, I could be Marius anyway. Yeah.
well, you are
Marius has had many adventures.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's like what you're saying, you know. This
Marius
is the Chronicles of Marius, you know.
Yeah.
No, like the campaign will be very, very different. I hope, but.
Oh, I'm not saying. Oh, please make it different. But I was just curious. Now that like Pokey was Yujiro's character was supposed to be the guy that was going to kind of take the Paragon tier, the next tier, and kind of lead that. But now that Yujiro's not playing that character.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
But we'll still see some familiar faces, right?
I hope so.
Yeah?
Okay. Well, Marius.
That's the only face you need, I mean.
NPCs.
Yeah, maybe.
Barrett comes back.
Sorry?
I like Barrett.
Okay.
Oh, what was it, Barrett or Bolta?
Bolta. Yeah, Bolta. Oh, yeah. I love Bolta.
Yeah, I hope he comes back. Yeah, my favorite NPC.
Yeah, he was mine too.
Yeah, well, you're going to get a belly full of him next. So
you can be him if you like.
Now you're talking about changing systems, though.
Yes.
Is that 100%?
No, not at all.
How would you guys feel about the system changing, like playing the same story, same campaign, a continuation, of course, but under a different system?
I'm cool with that.
Yeah, fine.
The one thing I wanted to ask about it, especially for Tom,
a little clash, Yujiro, please, guys. Please,
how do you feel about there being no grid?
I mean, it doesn't matter.
No grid.
Yeah, Tom and Yujiro, you guys really seem to latch on.
Yeah,
I did like it. This means it's much easier to fight.
Although you guys being cool with there being no grids, totally cool with me, because it did get kind of when you were counting out squares and counting them out, recounting the squares.
That's the thing, is like, I don't.
What do you mean you didn't move? What were you doing? I was just counting squares.
Movement, positioning, area of effects, those are all like core aspects of D&D combat. So if you remove the grid, I mean, I'm sure it's doable. I just think it's going to be a lot of work. But hey, if you want to go that way, I'm willing to like give it a shot. If it sucks, it sucks.
Well, with the mini games, we'll get to see it, because I know Wayne has said.
I have purposefully chosen Hollow Earth Expedition because there is no grid.
I'm not going to. The system doesn't have a grid from the start, that's fine.
And no, until this specific campaign, I've never played a game with a grid.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Huh. We always did distances, like, you know, the one square counts as 5 feet, so in my movement, how far away am I? Okay, can I move up to there? Yes.
I'll be using NDC Heroes playmats, mm-hmm. so it's not going to be a pure grid thing, but it will be kind of like, it won't be like,
position.
Yeah, you'll see where you are. I also got a lot of hero clicks, mm-hmm. These little superhero miniatures. So we'll see that, so hopefully we'll see kind of more of a hybrid.
Yeah. And Fate has a map system, but it's zones, it's not a grid, so it's quite different way it works.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, if the system's built to be grid, less or,
that's one thing, though, is that like a basic movement thing that's not hard to just tack on as a house rule. So I don't mind if you guys really like the grid to add in the grid to it.
No, it's not that I like the grid.
No, I think Yujiro was just saying that D&D 4E is built to function in this grid system. Yeah. So why not use it to its full potential?
I see.
So the previous versions didn't have a grid?
3.5 was optional. It gave you everything in feet, and
one square counts as 5 feet, so if you calculate it out that way.
Right.
And they said, you can play with a grid, and here's rules for positioning and stuff, but you don't have to.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, but when they showed an example of how combat, it would be on a grid.
Yeah,
so.
that's kind of...
And you can buy our grid right here at this one location.
Yeah, and then they release maps, and they would all have grids on them. Mm-hmm. So obviously, I don't think 4E and 3.5 are all that different. I don't know. Like, it was kind of... Because I did have my guy kind of planned out the Paragon. So it's a little bit disappointing in that respect, because I think there was things that could have been tinkered with the system. Mm-hmm. You know, people can still listen to our problems with the system, part one of Campaign Confessions. But I think a lot of those could have been house-ruled. So I think a lot of, I think all systems, they try to sell themselves, or most systems try to sell themselves as fast-paced combat, you know, really easy and simple. And then when people play it, they're like, wow, that's not so fast-paced, or that's not so simple. So I think, like, latching on because you think it's going to be quicker. Like you were saying, oh, maybe 3.5, but I don't think 3.5 is any quicker.
I disagree there. I think it's much quicker, but...
Sorry, you do disagree?
I very much disagree. Yeah.
Really?
I think 3.5 is much faster than 4.
Much faster?
Yeah. Well, in my experience.
Yeah. Okay.
At what level range? Because I've heard high level 3.5 can, like, take forever, while low level it's pretty much...
The one I played before, the big one, we went up to level 10 in it, so...
Yeah.
1 to 10, I guess. And, but that's the same, like, in 4E, the first, maybe, levels 1 through 5 was pretty quick, but... Mm-hmm. Man, once we got to like level 9, we guys finished off. It was long.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's personal. So.
Yeah. But that said, I mean, I can just build whichever. I mean, there's a lot of different systems that we can try out.
And Fate's a universal role-playing system, so we could recreate any of the Paragon powers or features that you were excited about back in it. If you wanted to go that route.
Okay. Well, I've already looked at GURPS and figured out how to do my face stepping.
There you go.
Under that, so.
And actually, GURPS is, GURPS has, I don't remember if it's the tactical one or the combat one. There's a GURPS version that has a grid system as well. So grids is an option, even though I've never read it before. So. So, yeah.
All right.
Okay. Well, thank you everyone for tuning in and, listening to us reminisce about our last campaign. A lot of fun for us, so I hope it was good for you as well.
I was expecting some more tears. And some
Well, I think we're all very good.
I hope it all is.
Coming up next is going to be a working title, Identity Crisis, where we look at playing... I think we actually said this coming up next a couple episodes ago, but we decided to do Campaign Confessions because we were able to schedule Yujiro and Tom, so we took advantage of that. But Identity Crisis, where we'll look at playing... the other gender, different races, whether or not to embrace stereotypes of different ethnicities. I suppose I should say ethnicity and as opposed to race.
Yeah,
so people, we're not necessarily going to be talking about playing elves, but playing an African-American if you're a white person or playing a white person if you're African-American. What maybe do's and don'ts for that.
Yeah.
So, and hopefully there'll be some clash.
All right.
You love
much.
Your clash, don't you?
See you next time.
Yeah. Stand of the band. No, no, no.
Yeah. Idle Red Hands, recorded in Kobe, Japan. See us online at www.idleredhands.com. Music provided by Tripod Jimmy, and the song was Roadkill. Hope you enjoyed it. See you next time.